Book of Hebrews, chapter 8, starting from verse 1.
Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest, who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens.
Now, here the Paul is writing, and he's saying, we said something about this high priest in earlier chapters. We started in chapter 5, we started in chapter 7, and we continue about the high priest who is Jesus Christ. Many people didn't know that Jesus Christ is the high priest. When Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, the curtain from the holy place, most holy place, torn from top to bottom without any man's hand touching. From that day until today, there is no blood sacrifice going on Israeli temples. So this seems like a new thing to people, but we'll read in this chapter, God ordained this before Jesus Christ came into this world. So he says, most of the priests, they work in the tabernacle or temple, but this high priest, he's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. So this priest has three duties. Jesus Christ came into this world as a prophet, and he finished the prophet's job. He died for the mankind and he shed his precious blood. And today he's in heaven as a high priest, as your and my mediator between man and God, sitting next to the throne of the Father in the heaven. Verse 2.
A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man.
Now here he's saying this is a true minister and he's working in the sanctuary. Now Jesus Christ is not on earth today. But here he's saying he's working in the true tabernacle. The word tabernacle is used because Moses made the tabernacle. But here he's saying, which the Lord pitched and not a man. Now it sounds like in the heaven there is a tabernacle pitched by God. But in those days, they did not have the great technology like we have today. In the Bible, we learn that God is keeping the record of everyone's sin. That time people start thinking, how can God keep the record of every man's sin and millions and billions of people around the world, how many books God needs to keep the record? But now we have the technology. In small chip, we can have whole Bible or whole world's record in one small chip. So now we can understand when the Word of God says God can do those things. Now here he's saying, pitch. This tabernacle is pitched by God. Looks like, you know, he took a hammer and made the some kind of tent. It's not a tent. When you're reading in the book of Revelation, it's a real temple. And when we're reading in the chapter 21, it's another place called Jerusalem. And that is also, if you see, it's not made by tent or some kind of nails, but it's a very glorious place. But to understand this Israeli people, he is trying to use the simple language. And so he says, that tabernacle or that temple is not made by man's hand, it's made by God. Let's read verse 3.
For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law.
Now see, when you read these two verses, he's trying to say, if this man, what man he's talking about? This man, Jesus. This man, the high priest. This man who is sitting in heaven right now. He says, if this man was working or were working in this handmade tabernacle, Moses or Solomon, in that temple, Jesus Christ would not be working. Why? Because, first of all, we learn in chapter 4 and chapter 5, this priesthood came by Aaron. Aaron was the high priest, the first one. And then his son, and then came up to the Jesus' death. Priesthood keep on changing. And the word of God says, this priesthood was given by the law. And they have to offer the sacrifice according to the law. So according to the law, they were sacrificing the blood of bulls and goats. So the Jesus Christ, if he was a high priest on earth, he would not do this kind of job. Why? Because if you read a little bit further, Jesus Christ did not come to do the Aaron sacrifice. If the Aaron sacrifice was better, then it would be continuously keep on doing what Aaron was doing. But that was not right thing, so the Jesus would not do which is not everlasting. And that's what he's saying. Okay, let's read the verse 5.
Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount.
See what he's trying to say? The tabernacle or the temple was given to mankind. That was the shadow. But the real tabernacle, real temple was in heaven. Now he's saying when God showed him on the mountain, he showed him like in a vision. Come and see the measurement or come and see how this tabernacle or temple works. There is a outer court, holy place, and most holy place. And then there are different kinds of articles we'll be learning later. But here is saying that kind of temple God showed to the Moses, and that was the shadow, but the real thing was going to come. And so when he said to Moses, see what you're seeing right now and make according to that pattern. Go to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 25, verse 40.
And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount.
See what he's trying to say? Look. What he's looking? Looking at the pattern, what God was showing him how to make the tabernacle. So from that, God showed him in a vision. He did not go to heaven. He was on earth, but he could see God's pattern and say, okay, I'm going to make it according to the pattern. So the tabernacle on earth or the temple on earth, it was not eternal. When the temple was destroyed, many people, Jewish people, start crying, start weeping. They didn't know why happened, why God allowed these things. And today also they are trying to make a new temple. And they are gathering the materials and everything. But according to the word of God, the Jewish temple and Jewish priesthood is finished. Why? Because God has selected a new priest, a new high priest. That priest did not come according to the pattern or according to the law or commandment of Moses. If you remember last time we learned, Aaron and other tribe of Israel, they were fighting and they were saying, we need to work in the tabernacle just like Aaron. And you remember, Moses said, okay, bring the 12 rods and let us put it in the tabernacle and let's see what happens. And the next day they found out that Aaron's rod was budded. And so God said, this is the one I approved, and other people could not work in the tabernacle. So what happened? Aaron's priesthood was continuously until the Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. The day the curtain was torn from top to bottom, the sacrifice stopped. That means no blood sacrifice is happening today anywhere in the world in Jewish temple. But we know the word of God says that priesthood, Aaron's priesthood, is stopped. It's finished. Now, high priest is Jesus Christ. Let's read Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6.
But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises.
Now, this again talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has the excellent ministry, and he has excellent promises, and he is going to establish, or was going to establish, a new covenant with mankind. Verse 7.
For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second.
See, he's simply saying, if the first covenant God made with the children of Israel, if that covenant was okay and did not have any fault, then God will not make a new covenant with the children of Israel. But he says, now what happened? The covenant which God gave it to the mankind, they did not do according to the word of God. That's what God is doing. Let's read the word, verse 8.
For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah.
Now here he's saying, now that's what I was trying to tell you. This was promised before Jesus Christ came into this world. He's saying God saw the fault in the first one because they are not doing accordingly. So God says God was going to make a new covenant with the children of Israel and children of Judah, because that time the Judah and Israel, they were divided and they have two different kingdoms. He said, I'm going to make a covenant with these both people. Verse 9.
Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord.
Now see, he said, I made the covenant with the children of Israel when? When they were coming out of the Egypt. You remember what God told them? Take a lamb or goat, take the blood, put it on your doorpost and the both side of the door. And when the death angel comes, he will see the sign of the blood and he will pass over. And he will not destroy the children of Israel. And they did accordingly. Let's go to the book of Exodus chapter 12, verse 5 to 7.
Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood, and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses, wherein they shall eat it.
Now this was, he said, the day they sacrificed the lamb, and that night they were going to get out of that town. But then later on, God told him what should do. Just go to the chapter 24, Exodus chapter 24, 6 to 8.
And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, All that the Lord hath said will we do, and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, Behold the blood of the covenant, which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words.
See, he took the blood and then he sprinkled on the people and the books. And what did he say? This is the covenant God has made with you. So what was the covenant? Was made with a bull's blood and the goat's blood. And that covenant was there with the children of Israel. And he said, this is what the old covenant is. And so they were doing this sacrifice over and over and over. But that sacrifice was not making them perfect. If that sacrifice would make them perfect, then Jesus Christ didn't have to come. But what happened? That sacrifice, what was doing, their sins will be covered. Go to the Psalm 32, verse 1 and 2.
Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
Now see his here. He says, blessed is the man whose transgressions he is forgiven and his sins are covered. That means if you bring the sacrifice, your sins will be covered. If you do commit sin again, then it will be uncovered. So that's why they have to keep on bringing the sacrifice one after another. Read the words too.
Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile.
Now this is another man. He says, this man is blessed. When God sees this man, he says, you are not a sinner. I don't see any sin in you. In your spirit, there is nothing, guile or no sin. How it happened to this man? Because when this man receives Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, his sins are forgiven and forgotten. There is no record of our sin. That's the two different things. So the Jewish people, they're doing sacrifice after and after, but their sins are forgiven for a short period of time and then uncovered again. But the Jesus blood purifies you inside out. Your spirit is cleansed. Your conscience is cleansed. And you have a new covenant with God, so you will never commit sin. Somebody says, it is impossible. But God gives you supernatural power to say no to sin. Once you are saved, then he gives you power to say no to sin. People don't understand, but it's fact. There are drug addicts, alcoholic, and murderers, and bad people. Once they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, their bad habits gone. How? God gives them supernatural power. There is nothing impossible with God. So he says, this is a blessed man. When God sees him, no iniquity, no sin in his spirit, or no guile, completely cleansed. So that's what happens in Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, verse 10.
For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people.
Now here again he says, after this, he's going to make a covenant with the children of Israel. He says, after those days. Now somebody says, what after those days? Do you know what after those days are? Now we are a Gentiles. We believe Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ did a new covenant for you and for me. Let's go back. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26 to 28.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.
See, this is the blood for the New Testament. So what is trying to say? Jesus Christ established the new covenant. So the old covenant was allowing your sins to be forgiven and covered. Now this New Testament, what he does, forgives your sin and remembers no more. But he says, after those days, means I'm trying to bring you the point, what is the after those days? Now the church is alive today. Jesus Christ will come and take the church away from this world. Then the tribulation starts in this world. After the great tribulation, church and Jesus Christ comes back again to this earth. And then he says, in those days, when the millennium starts, God is going to make the covenant with these children of Israel. We already got the new covenant, but the children of Israel, they do not understand what this new covenant is. They even crucified Jesus Christ and did not understand they were crucifying the Messiah. And now, when the tribulation comes and the great tribulation comes, and they are going to look into heaven and say, come, Lord Jesus, or come, Messiah. They are going to beat on their chest and welcome Jesus Christ to come to this world. In those days, he is going to establish that new covenant. But to us, that covenant is already here. Go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, and start reading from verse 31. Now, this was spoken by Jeremiah. Jesus Christ was not yet here on this earth. But this covenant God was going to make with the children of Israel, he was telling them what he was going to do. Let's read.
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people.
I will put my law in their inward parts, and I'll write in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This was never happened. Only when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and my Lord, what happens? He comes inside to dwell in you. And now our spirit is changed because Jesus Christ lives in us. So that kind of experience they will have when Jesus comes back in millennium for the millennium kingdom. Read verse 34.
And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more.
See, forgive their sins, and I will never remember their sins anymore. This never happened to Israeli people, but this will happen in the millennium. But this has already happened to us. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what happens? Your sins are forgiven and forgotten, and there is no record of your sins anymore. Okay, let's go back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, verse 11.
And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest.
Now, someone says, they will not teach anyone. Why? Because God's spirit will be in their spirit. Everyone will know. The same way we read in a book of 1 John chapter 2. Once we are filled with the Holy Spirit is the teacher and guide, so we don't have to have anybody teaching us. That's why some people say, then why do we have to go to church? But there is a command in book of Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25. He says we should go to church. So when you go to church, we learn more, and then we be blessing to one another, witnessing and helping one another. That's why we go to church. But once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your spiritual eyes open. The people who are not saved, the Bible is like a closed book. They can be doctors, engineers, scientists, and highly educated, PhD. But the Bible looks like just a closed book. They read it, but they don't understand. But we understand. Why? Because our spiritual eyes open. Once we are born again, then we understand the Word of God, because the Spirit of God dwells in us. So that's why the Word of God says, in those days, in the millennium, exactly what the experience we got, they are going to get the same experience. Then no neighbor or nobody has to teach anybody, because everything will be written in their spirit. And by the grace of God, we have that experience today. But many people do not even understand. Simply has to do, first of all, you have to call upon Jesus. Give your life to Him and say, Lord, I'm a sinner and I'm struggling and I don't know what to do. And I'm having a lot of problems with my bad habits and all kinds of problems, and I cannot handle it. He says, come unto me, O heavy laden. I will give you the rest. And then once you receive Jesus Christ, He gives you supernatural power. And so you can live a victorious life. And then the Word of God says, then we will have peace, spiritual knowledge, and we will have victory over the sin. You remember what the Word of God is saying in the 1 John chapter 4, verse 4? He says, greater one is lives in you than what is in the world. World has the devil and devil's power. We have more power than the demonic forces. God has given us the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is not ordinary. Holy Spirit is the third person of Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We have triune God. Once you receive Jesus Christ, Jesus comes in you, He brings Father in you, and the Father and Son lives in you, and then you call upon the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes. Then you got a powerhouse. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You can do mighty things which people cannot even imagine what the children of God can do. Science and wonders and miracles are happening. That's why I tell you, bring the person here, the lame, the blind, the cripple, or disease, or somebody has a cancer or anything. God can do miracles. I have seen miracles after miracles, and we are seeing every day God is doing miracles. So the miracle working power of God is in us. Okay, let's go back to the book of Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12.
For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more.
And so here he says, I will be merciful to them. He's talking about the Jewish people. And I will remember their sin no more. Thank God, God has already done this for us. Because once we receive the blood of Jesus Christ, once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our sins are what? Forgiven, forgotten. There is no record of our sins. So we should have peace. Some people are struggling. I'm so bad person. I don't know how God can forgive me. God is so merciful. The St. Paul says, I am the cheap sinner. Nobody like me. Because he was a murderer, killer. If God can use the Paul and change the whole world, you know what people used to say? The people are here who did the world upside down. They were talking about Paul. In those days, they turned the world upside down. That same God is here. But we are living in this world just like we are helpless. Always we are crying. Always we are saying, I have problem. We cannot live with our frustration. Give it to Jesus Christ and he says, call upon me and what? I will answer you. He's a prayer answering God. We go to him, he answers your prayer, he supplies your need. Let's read last verse.
In that he saith, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away.
Ready to vanish away is already vanished. He is trying to say, the new covenant, we already read in the book of Matthew chapter 26, verse 26 to 28. Jesus Christ took that blood and he said, this is my blood shed for you as a new covenant or new testament. So we are already having the better promises, the better covenant, and we are living in a better world. Living in this earth, but actually, do you know where we are? We are sitting in heaven. Somebody says, how come? Let's read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Once we are born again, children of God, we are heavenly people. We are in this earth, but we are not belong to this earth. We are belong to heaven and heavenly kingdom.
And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Does he say he will make you sit together? No, he's already did. Once you are born again, child of God, and you start praying in the Holy Spirit, you are lifted up to heaven and you can see the heavenly things. You can see and you can prophesy. You can see and rejoice. Just like Moses saw the tabernacle. We can see the heavenly things by the Spirit of God. Do you know when they were stoning to Stephen by the stone, what did he say? He said, I see heaven open. And I see Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God. He could see in the heaven when the Father and Son standing. The Son is standing for Stephen to welcome him to heaven. He could see with his own eyes. So we can see it by the Spirit. That's what he says. We are already sitting at the throne of God beside Jesus Christ when you are born again, child of God. It's a great mystery. It's revealed to us by Jesus Christ and by the apostles and prophets. We are blessed people. There is not a single person in the world like a born again Christian. Not a Jewish people, not a Muslim people, not any other religion. We are the blessed one. Why? Because we are already born again. We are already living a victorious life. Then we go with Jesus Christ. Then we come back again to this millennium kingdom. And we will be with Jesus Christ as a kings and priests. Now the Israeli people making the temple, gathering the stuff, doing the temple. But even though they make the temple, the word of God says that the Antichrist is going to defile that temple and destroy that temple. Why? Because that is not according to the word of God what they're doing. Priesthood is taken from Aaron, given to Jesus Christ. And they don't even understand. Now we are learning our priest, our high priest is Christ. And he made you and me as a priest. So we are a blessed people. Okay, shall we rise? We are going to pray because this is a short chapter. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us this great opportunity. We are your people, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. No sin, no sickness can dwell in our life or in our body because our body is the real temple of the living God. And Jesus Christ, the Father, the Holy Spirit, triune God, lives in us. We are belong to you. Give us grace to live a victorious life and shine and let the whole world know that we are belong to Jesus Christ. And God has transformed us to show the world that what kind of Christian people are supposed to be. Give us that holy boldness to be a holy people on this earth for the glory of God. we commit our bodies, our souls, our spirits into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.